house. He hath hewn out seven pillars. And then the illustration of the hospitality of that house demonstrates those seven pillars as they are being utilized. And so we have talked about advanced preparation. We've talked about orderly organization. We've talked about wise delegation. Now we come to, and each of these are building points, as you can see. For example, let's say that I have properly prepared all things. I have organized everything. I have delegated, and I have that, but I do not have the ability to communicate, or I do not strategically communicate. What good is all of the preparation that I have made if I cannot communicate that preparation, if I cannot communicate that organization? If I cannot communicate, then wise delegation just goes by the wayside. And so you can see that each one of these are building blocks to get to the next point and to have this house on a solid foundation of truth, a solid foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, a solid foundation on the Word of God, and these seven pillars cause this house to be a wise house. Thus wisdom hath builded her house. And so today we're going to focus, after a few introductory comments, advertisements or announcements and things such as that, we want to get into our song, our prayer, and then we want to get into our lesson in regards to that. So hopefully we will have a very encouraging, edifying day as we talk about strategic communication, which is the fourth pillar. Well, I would be amiss in my responsibilities if I did not invite you to come and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet at 685 Nesbitt Road here in Nesbitt, Mississippi, every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Now, we would love to have you. We consider you an honored guest if you come by and visit with us. If you're traveling from out of town, you might be saying, okay, where's Nesbitt, Mississippi at? Well, we're in the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee. And again, we would consider you our honored guest if you were to choose to join us in our Bible study and worship. Well, let's see, if you're listening to us via WJHF 106.9, we have many venues that we are putting the broadcast out on. That would be one of them, WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area. We would encourage you to go by and see our friends and family at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. So give them a call. Now, if you're listening, I believe we're also on the Bangs radio station as well. And if so, I'll have to check with Brother Michael on that once again. But I believe that we are still up and running on Bangs. We certainly want to encourage anybody in the Brownwood Bangs area to go by and see our brethren at the Bangs Church of Christ. And be sure and tell them that Rick Pope Joy said hi. It's good to see, good to be with our brethren anytime that we have an opportunity to. Well, let's see here. If you're listening to us on the radio side of this program, then it's probably through the Gospel Radio Network, and that would be TGRN, Gospel Radio, and we're certainly glad that you've joined us on that. There's a chat room associated with that listening venue if you want to join us there. Now, if you're listening to us, like Sister Jensen from Washington and Sister Woodall from Wisconsin and Sister Mona right here in Nesbitt, Mississippi, and then others that I know will be joining us and chiming in over the day, we're certainly glad that you have joined us on this YouTube studio live, and we hope that you will take advantage of the chat window as we engage in our Bible study today. Two announcements, all that I have today. Of course, we have been stressing the 5th Annual Men's Development Conference at the BCS Church of Christ in College Station, Texas, June the 2nd through the 6th, 2021. Go to the BCS Church of Christ website and you can register and make sure that you get registered early, because that takes care of meals and lodging and things such as that are all wrapped up and incorporated around the registration program. Even the booklets and the publication of that booklet that is produced each year is designed for that purpose. So please go to the BCS Church of Christ in College Station, Texas, and register for the Men's Development Conference. Well, that's going to be in June, but before we get to June, there's May. And May has a very encouraging event, especially for me. I'm a little bit partial in regards to this because my good brother, Brother Mike Bonner, is going to be with us here in Nesbitt, Mississippi, May the 2nd through the 5th. So 1 month to the day prior to the Men's Development Conference, Brother Bonner is going to be here in Nesbitt, Mississippi, and he's going to be talking to us about the eternal nature of truth. The eternal nature of truth. I can't wait for that particular event. That's a Sunday through a Wednesday, and I can't tell you how I feel. I'm just so excited and anxious to be with my good brother for that week. We spend about 2 years at least working together in San Angelo, Texas, where he still labors, and we are. I consider him a great friend and one of the top men that if I had to choose men to come in and speak, Brother Bonner would be on the top of that list. And so we are really looking forward to that. Yes, by the way, we get to every day have a Brother Bonner bonus, don't we? I like that. I like the way I may change the name of that to Brother Bonner bonus. But we're going to go through that here in just a minute. The phone number today, here's another way that you can communicate with us, and that is you can give us a call on the topic today of strategic communication and Wise Wisdom's House as it is built, and you can give us a call at 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. Another avenue of communication, if you don't want to call, you don't want your voice out there, as a lot of people do not, then just send me a text. You can go to any of these venues and you can communicate with us today in regards to reflections upon the precious book divine. Well, I see here, I can't think of anything else as far as the announcements and the introduction is concerned, so I want to go ahead and get to our song, and I want to remind everyone that there's about a 20-second delay, maybe not quite 20 seconds, but what that means is that when you send in your prayer request, if it's not sent in at least 20 seconds before this song ends, then I'm probably not going to be able to get to it in regards to our prayer request. But be sure and send those in so that we can have prayer request for us in that regard. Okay, so our song then is Walking on Heaven's Road.
Who's that walking down the road carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there, ain't no sadness anywhere, ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on heaven's road, and when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load.
Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day.
Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn. We're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Amen. And what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song that we have. For us, we do have a couple of prayer requests in our chat windows, and we certainly want to acknowledge them in regards to Sister Jensen and her mother's situation and the sale of that home and the moving in to an area that is near her. And also her son Alex is in need of prayers. You know, life is a struggle, and those who master how to struggle with life are those who succeed. And so a part of our prayers for one another ought to be not to remove all of the obstacles of life, but to be able to handle the obstacles of life in a way that will progress our Christian faith. And we certainly want to keep them in our prayers. Sister Woodall says, pray for me in my search for a church family. I found a small group meeting in a home about an hour away. We certainly want to do that. I know how difficult it is in some areas. You know, in the South, now I spent 7 years in Wyoming. I know that in the South, it is very difficult at times to figure out which congregation you're going to go to. In the North, it's not so easy. Congregations are spread further apart. Sometimes an hour away, at least, is the next or the nearest congregation. And so we certainly want to pray for Sister Woodall in that situation. Well, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we realize that Thou art a majestic and holy God, and that we do not deserve to be within Thy presence in the heavenly realm. We pray our Heavenly Father that we realize that in and of and by ourselves, we are a wretched people, but through the blood of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, through the gospel of Christ, that Thou hast brought us near unto Thee. And we pray that we might continue to live and so glorify and magnify Thy name among our fellow human beings. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would specifically be with our good brother Alex, who is a member here at this congregation, as he continues to meet with the difficulties of life. We're so pleased in his progress of faith. We love and appreciate our good brother, and we pray that he is able to stay the course and to keep on the right track and to do that which Thou would have him to do. And we look forward and we anticipate that time when he can organize his life in such a way that he can be a multiplicity of blessings to other people. And he has certainly been a blessing to us as he worships here with us. We ask that you would be with Sister Jensen and the situation surrounding her mother, the sale of her mother's home, the moving of her mother. And we realize that life stages are difficult sometimes to handle. And when you move to this final stage of a caregiver, it can be rather difficult indeed. and many of us have struggled with that caregiving stage and have gone through it, and so we pray with empathy toward our beloved sister. We also realize, our Heavenly Father, that Sister Woodall is in a very tough situation. It's one thing, we have congregations that have ignored thy command to assemble, and we have congregations that have gone to virtual worship, and then we have those congregations that are staying the course. They are keeping the faith in regards to the assembly, and we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would help more congregations, more elders and preachers to repent and confess their sins, as Brother Wilkie did just yesterday. We mentioned his fine article wherein he confessed his wrong in promoting such a thing as we have seen. And so we pray that Sister Woodall would be able to find a good, solid, and sound congregation of God's people to associate and fellowship with, as we all need that. And there are some individuals, we pray for Brother Hudson Bird, as he is gone to San Antonio for basic training. And we realize that sometimes being in basic and worshiping God is not necessarily something that can be easily taken care of. We pray that he might find a congregation that would be able to be on campus and that would be a benefit to him. We know, our Heavenly Father, that he will be a benefit to anyone that is around him. We pray for our young people. We pray that they might have stability in their life, that they might have the fortitude to overcome all the obstacles. We pray for our older members, and we pray for their stability in the latter stages of their life, that they might properly prepare themselves for eternity. Well, our Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be able to be called thy children, that it's beyond our ability even to express. And so we just simply say thank you, and we ask that you would receive our gratitude for these fine gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever will betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, a tent by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms might round us meet, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge near, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shelter in the time of storm. A shelter in the time of storm.
gotta love that song. By the way, I always want to ask when we sing songs such as this, I always want to ask, do we believe it? And certainly, I feel that I'm in the midst of a group of people that certainly believe that aspect of this particular song. Jesus is a rock in the time of storm, and we're going to face the time of storm. And we can succeed in Christ because he is that rock. All right, so let's get to, what did we call it now, Brother Bonner? Bonus today. The bonus of reflections is in these words from our good brother, Brother Mike Bonner. Some things don't need comments. Seek the truth, obey the Lord, and strive for righteousness in all things. Psalm 140, verses 12 and 13, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. And again, we read these things, and then we ask, do we believe them? And the answer comes sounding back, certainly we believe them. Without a doubt, we believe them. And so we are truly blessed today. Well, we do have, by the way, Sister Jensen, you make a good point. And before we get to strategic communication, you make a very good point here when sometimes the storms are, it's easy to bear a storm when it's just a quick storm. You know, every now and then we'll get a rainstorm that'll come through and it'll last about 5 minutes, and it's just a downpour for about 5 minutes. Now that's easy to endure, but then sometimes that storm comes along and it lasts a long time. Sometimes it lasts an entire season. Ask a mother that has just given birth to children whether or not she is exhausted. Well, you don't have to ask that. You know she's exhausted. The season that she is in her life is an exhausting season. And it's going to last until that child, right, can sleep through the night. And then again, it's still going to be difficult until that child is able to care for itself to some extent. And then again, the care and concern and the activity of parenthood never really goes away, does it? Yeah, ask Sister Woodall about twins. I just can't imagine. Twins is one thing, but I can't imagine anything more than twins. You got to have major help to do that. Now, here's what I'm saying. Sister Jensen has mentioned an excellent point here. And I want to turn you to the book of Hebrews in regards to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 32. Because if you remember the persecution that started, the storms of life that started with the Jewish church, or the church in Jerusalem, I should say, in Acts chapter 2, so about AD 30, you have the activity of persecution starting then, and it continued for a long period of time. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says to the brethren here. He says, but call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion upon me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and an enduring resurrection. In other words, how were they able to endure that? By understanding enduring substance. So he says to them, cast not away therefore your confidence, in which you have great recompense of reward. He says, for you have need of patience. So here's what I need. I need the ability to stick with the plan all the way through. You know, a captain of a ship during the heavy waves, turns his boat into the waves. Now, the waves come crashing over the front of that ship as he is going into the waves, and it almost seems as if those waves are going to cause that ship to sink. Now, that captain may be tempted to turn that ship, and when he does, he will sink. You see, he has to stay the course, no matter how difficult it may be. No matter how much water he is taking on, he must stay the course. And that's really what Paul is saying there, is that we must stay the course. So listen, life is not easy. Some lives are easier than others. Or we should say some lives are more difficult than others, and some time frames are more difficult than others. But if Jesus is the rock, if he is the shelter in the time of storm, then we know that we must always stay with him, no matter how difficult the situation may be. So we continue to pray for our good sister Jensen and others that are going through. You see, sometimes we don't tell others about the storms that we go through, and or sometimes we don't make public all of those storms. That does not mean that people aren't going through storms. That's why it always seems greener on the other side, right? And so it is important that we understand this. All right, so I think Sister Jensen has brought up a great point, and one that needs to be contemplated in regards to these things. Now, today we're going to focus our attention upon the concept of strategic communication. And as I mentioned in the introduction, if you look at these first four pillars, and these are great principles, but they are built on one another. For example, the first pillar deals with advanced preparation. Now, I can make all the great preparation I want to, but if I cannot communicate, then my preparation fails. Orderly organization. I can organize, prepare, and organize everything, and even delegate. But how could I delegate without the ability to strategically communicate? Now, let's say that I can delegate, but then how do I? Listen, I want people to attend this massive hospitality event that I am having. How am I going to choose to advertise? Well, that's going to depend upon a lot of things, right? It's going to depend upon how much money I have to invest in the advertisement. It's going to depend upon how much skill I have in. We're talking about the skill aspect, strategic communication. See, if you don't have a lot of money, you got to be a little bit more strategic in the ability to communicate. And so learning how to strategically communicate. You see, this woman is focused. Nothing is random here. She determines how and where to advertise so that she will get the most bang for her buck, as we would say. That's strategic communication. You see, she crieth upon the high places of the city. Chapter 9, verse 3, and the latter part of that verse. Now, strategic communication is vitally important in so many different areas. In fact, God himself, you know, I thought about just looking at Genesis 1 and 2 and 3 even in regards to that, and God being a strategic communicator. When he communicated to humanity, or even prior to that, when he spoke the creation into existence, was that not communication? And God said, and it came about. God spake, and there it was. That's all that it took. God spake. God communicated something. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word. word is in a sense of communication. So communication is absolutely essential in regards to who God is. In fact, the very concept of God as a person. You see, God is not just a theory. God is not just a concept that is out there. God is a person. And as such, the scriptures talk about the fact that God is a conscious God, that he is, that he possesses self-determination. That's a part of that speaking, right? He is determinate, and he has a volition, in other words, a will, and he carries out that will, and so he is self-determined. The very fact that God says I and me is and let us make man in our, these are all aspects of the personhood of God. Now, with that, you might be saying, okay, I thought we were talking about communication, not personhood. No, no, I'm talking about, yes, I am, right? Well, scriptures represent God as possessing certain characteristics of personality or personhood, right? Not talking about a human, I'm talking about person. He has intellect, for example. He thinks, he reasons things out. Come now, let us reason together. God is a God of reason. He would say in Isaiah 1:18 or Isaiah 41, what is it, 41:21, say, come, produce your cause. He wants us to reason with him. He has sensibilities about himself. He is an emotional being, you see. God is a God who feels things. You can vex him. You can vex the Holy Spirit in Genesis 6 and verse number 5. His spirit was vexed within him with regard to the sins of the world. He is emotionally affected by his surroundings. He doesn't make decisions based upon that, but he is emotionally an emotional creature. But even more than that, he is a creature of volition, of will, that self-determination. He decides. Genesis 3:15, for example, we see that he made a determination, right? He had his will. This is my will. I'm going to produce the seed of woman, right? Which came about to be Jesus Christ, produced of the Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. All these things about God. God is a God who is a speaker. But even more than that, the very tenor of Scripture itself, everything that you read, it's amazing how many times in this Bible that you will read that God spoke. You know, you look through the Pentateuch, and God spoke to Moses, and how many times he says that during the prophets, for the Lord spoke to Isaiah, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah, the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, the Lord spoke to Hosea, and the Lord spoke. That phrase or a similar phrase is used over 3,800 times in the Old Testament. 3,800 times. Almost 200 times in the book of Jeremiah alone. Is there some kind of phrase that would suggest that God has spoken? Notice with me in Jeremiah chapter 26, I believe. Yes, Jeremiah 26. And notice with me, well, we begin in verse number 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, now here's the word. Thus saith the Lord, second, right? Stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak all unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship the Lord's house all the words that I command thee to speak. Diminish not a word. Throughout the Bible, it is the fact that God is speaking to humanity. God is a, in other words, God is a strategic. And by the way, this is why Genesis 1, 2, and 3 is vitally important to this study, is that you see the strategic nature. When God created, we oftentimes speak of God's creation as being very strategic. Everything is laid out day one, day two, day three. Everything follows in a prescribed order. It's an orderly organization to creation. Well, how did that come about? It come about because God is a strategic communicator, right? That's the whole idea behind that aspect. The New Testament says the same thing in regards to that. And so I thought about this as I was, in fact, this aspect that I'm about to give you is a rather late addition to this particular series. But I want you to think about the fact that God is a communicator, a strategic communicator. Romans 10, 17, how beautiful are the feet of them that publish peace, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. Now that's a quote from Isaiah 52 in verse number 7. And in the context, Isaiah is talking about the communication, the good news of being released from Babylonian captivity. They're not in Babylonian captivity yet. But he is going to speak, and this is the scene in which a man climbs up this hill, you see, arise, contend thou before the mountains, let the hills hear thy voice. By the way, you think about this whole scenario. I know that people like to say that, you know, a preacher really should not raise his voice when he's in the pulpit. You should not yell in the pulpit. Well, there are times to raise your voice, and in fact, Micah 6 in verse number 1 is a command to raise your voice. Let the hills hear thy voice. The hills cannot hear your voice if you are whispering. You see, and I can tell you that I know. You're probably saying, what? Come on, speak up, right? That's what you're saying. Listen, I've never had anybody say they could not hear me when I'm talking. But I constantly deal with individuals, preachers. I deal with members and leaders who get up before and they're about to lead a prayer, and even at a microphone. I can't understand this, my friends. And we have the phone. Thank you for the things. Nobody can hear you. This is a public prayer. It's not. Listen, if you're in your a closet, you pray as quietly as you want to. But when you're in public, the voice must be heard. For if you cannot communicate, if people cannot hear what you say, you cannot communicate. And so it is important. Yeah, don't get me started on those masks. Here's my point. The Lord communicates loud and clear. I want us to understand it. He communicates loud and clear. And he wants us to understand the message that is being preached. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have, what? Heard. If I don't hear it, I can't give heed to it. So I've got to hear it. Now, there are some people who don't want to hear the message. I don't like what he says, or I don't like how he says it. Well, shame on us. Who cares about that kind of stuff? What I care about more than anything else is that you hear and that you understand that there is loud and clear communication. I don't want anybody to ever say, will you speak up? I don't mind people saying, whoa, would you, whoa, back off. I don't mind that, because it means that I have clearly and loudly enough for them to hear that. You cannot give heed to that which you have not heard in regards to that. Look at chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. seeing that ye are dull of hearing. Now they're hard to be uttered because of the hearer, not the speaker. Now, sometimes people say, well, I didn't hear a word he said. Well, that's on the speaker. But if you don't like what the speaker says, that's on the hearer, right? And so I want to make sure that that is loud and clear. Think about this. And the illustration is very powerful in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 25. Notice what it says. See that you refuse him not that speaketh. Well, how do I know to refuse or accept if I can't hear it? So communication is the essence of strategic communication. If you can't hear, you can't communicate, you certainly have no strategy in regards to that. But now notice the illustration. For if they escaped who refused him not that spake on earth. What's the illustration of this text? Exodus chapter 19. When God caused the mountain to shake with his voice. Now you think the mountain shook because God said, I want y'all to listen to what I have to say. And I don't want to cause you any fear or I don't want you to ignore the words because of how loud I speak. Yeah, what? You think maybe, by the way, the text says they backed off. The text says, well, they didn't want to hear that. It says, all the people in the camp trembled at the voice of God. The voice of God thundered among them. And we don't want any thundering among us. My friends, God's voice is loud and clear. God does not mumble with regards. He is very clear and he is very loud in his presentation. When God spoke from heaven, the Bible says that people thought it thundered. Think about that. Now then, not only is it loud and clear, but it's early and often. See, strategic communication is not a communication that is just communicated once. It's early. By the way, it's never late. God's communication is never late. And it is always often. In other words, it is repetitive. What is the first principle of teaching? The first three, actually. Repetition, repetition, repetition. The Bible constantly says to us that Peter said in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1, right? He said, I want to put you in remembrance of these things. He would say in 2 Peter chapter 3, that I want you to remember, right? I want you to remember these things. Be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy apostles and prophets of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jude does the same thing in his short epistle. It's all about communication. There are 7 or 8 times in the book of Jeremiah that Jeremiah says that he sent his prophets, his servants, the prophets, early in the morning and repetitively, right? Turn with me to Jeremiah. We'll start in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse number 13. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I want to get to our communication as well. But our communication must follow the same principle as divine communication. So notice with me, in chapter 7 and verse number 13. And now because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, I spake unto you, now notice this, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. The problem was not in how loud God spoke. It was not in the clarity of his words. It was not in how early he spoke or how often, right? It was in their unwillingness to give heed to the word of God. So he says, I rose up early and you heard me not. Look at verse number 25 now. It says, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets daily, rising up early and sending them. Now you'll find that throughout the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is emphasizing that the problem that exists with the people of God at this time going into Babylonian captivity had nothing to do with God's strategic communication. That God was loud and clear, and that he was early and often. Now, think about that in relationship to the communication that you and I have been commissioned with in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, Luke 24, 46 through 48, John 20 and verse 21 and through 23, or Acts 1 in verse number 8. Think about the strategic nature of that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, notice how strategic it is. You begin in Jerusalem, you begin where you are, you go into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. Begin where they're strategic, right? There's communication that's going to be brought forth. It's very strategic in a lot of different areas. It's strategic from the vantage point of where you are, but it's also strategic from the vantage point that it begins with the Jews. Who better to begin with, because they understood the great scheme of redemption. They should have, at least. They were given all of the oracles of God, and God had communicated with them, and now then it was to spread out to Judea and then to Samaria. Those are people that knew something about the scheme of redemption. Even the woman at the well said, it's been said that y'all worship the Jews, they worship down there in Jerusalem. We worship in this mountain. And Jesus begins to explain to her, and she knew that he was more than just a prophet at that particular point. So she goes into the city. By the way, you're talking about strategic communication. She goes into the city, and she begins to tell all the men of that city, you need to come out here to the well. I've been out here to the well fetching water. I left my water pot to come, water bucket to come and tell you that I think I found the Messiah. And they come out and they said, listen, you strategically communicated with us, but now we believe because of his communication to us. See, the Bible is full of the principles of strategic communication in regards to these items. And now, with that in mind, it's interesting. I pulled off the internet today. I was doing a little extra research, and I found this article written by a psychological psychology department in a university or a psychological practice, and it was 20 ways to communicate effectively. Now, that's always interesting to me. It says, here are some tips to improve communication to help reduce misunderstanding or conflicts and to increase positive and helpful interactions. And I thought, this is kind of interesting. So you know what the first thing is? Here's the first thing they list. Take time to think before you speak. No, that's interesting. Take time to think before you speak. We've been talking about all this communication of God throughout Scripture. You think God took time to think before he spoke? You know he did. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, that's communication, right? According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He thought about it. His volition was activated only after thinking about it. This is the omniscience of God, right? That in the disposition of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. And notice this, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things by the counsel of his will. The counsel of his will, predestination, the forethought of the entire plan. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 and following also deal with this, but look at verse number 11 in particular. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus' dying on the cross was not an afterthought. For God, it was a part of the scheme from the beginning. He thought about this. He reasoned, here is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here is the divine plan that is set forth. God communicated to that us that plan by piecemeal, piece by piece. Here's the book of whatever the first book that was written, Genesis, Job, whatever it may have been. Here's the first piece. Here's the second piece. Now you have the Old Testament, the New Testament, piecemeal. Now we have the entirety of that scheme. God is a strategic communicator, and the first thing that he did was to take time to think. I wonder if there's anything in Scripture that might be said about that in regards to our strategic communication. Well, let's travel over to the book of James. James chapter 1, verse number 19. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Absolutely, there are times in which we need, as he says here, we should be swift to hear. Now, the hearing of the message of God, and before we say anything, you know, there are some people that no matter what you're saying, no matter how slow I realize I am in the saying of certain things, they're always interrupting. Always, it doesn't matter who's talking, it doesn't matter what they're saying, they're always interrupting. Maybe their processor works a little faster than mine, but interruption is a difficult thing indeed. But it is important that we understand that we stop and think before we speak, right? And then notice number two. I want you to notice, I don't know if these are Christian counselors or not, Christian psychologists or not, but the Bible is certainly flow through the second. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. Wait a minute, I just read that from James chapter 1. Speak to help the listener. That's why I emphasize all that I emphasized earlier about if you can't hear me, then I am not speaking to help you. And that is important. I like that, Sister Jensen. Keep a notebook as well. It does help, you know, it helps you to organize all of the thoughts that you have. Miss Mona is very good at that. I just listened to a gentleman online, he may have had one of the most magnificent, organized aspects to life that I have ever seen in regards to things. And so this strategic communication is very important. A part of the work that we do here on YouTube and the reflections on the Gospel Radio Network is all about communication, right? I want to be able to communicate to you about what the Bible says, reflecting upon the precious book divine. Now, they have 21 of these. I'm not going to go through all 21 of these. That's not my intent today, and we've certainly run out of time in regards to that. But as we close, I just want to mention some barriers, some problems of speech. If your speech is inconsistent, James 3 and verse number 10, then you have a problem with it, right? You cannot both be bitter and sweet, right? If your speech is vulgar, empty, or suggestive, Ephesians 5:4, then there's a barrier of pure communication. If your speech is filled with contempt toward other people, Matthew 5 and verse number 22, it's a barrier. If it's dishonest, Ephesians 4 and verse number 25. If it's blasphemous, Colossians 3 and verse number 8. And there are a host of other things that we could say about this, but good strategic communication is designed to let people know what you are advertising. Now, it might be a flyer sent out about a gospel meeting. It might be an invitation that is given to somebody that you meet in a store, for example. It's a strategic communication, and that is vitally important. Make sure that your communication is yea, yea, nay, nay. Make sure that it is, where did we say? It is loud and clear, and it is early and often. God bless you, and have a beautiful day.